Amen. Thank you. Good job. Good job. God bless y'all for doing that for us. Thank you for being here today. It's good to be back. I'm growing a beard. They say if you grow a beard when you get older, it don't grow in your ears and it don't grow in your nose. So I'm trying it. So, is there any truth to some of that? Any of you old guys? So, no, I'm just kidding. Nobody wants to admit it. Is that what it is? Take your Bibles and turn to John chapter 3. Verse 16, if you can't find that, we need to talk after church. Okay. John chapter 3, 16. It's been good to be away, but it's good to be back. Some of you know I've been off for a couple of weeks. I do a spiritual thing every November, a deer hunt. Okay. I did kill a nice deer this year. I'm one of these guys, I don't just shoot anything. I kill something that's pretty big, so I had a nice time, killed a nice deer. I spent 90 hours in a deer stand in 2 weeks, and so that ought to tell you something. So that's meditation time, though. That's a spiritual meaning of it, okay? But it's good to be back, good to be here with you. I love the Christmas season. We had our decorating of our tree last week, and I love that. I always like to be a part of that. And so thank you, all of you that participated in that. And so Wednesday night, I got to start back and kind of getting back in the rhythm. You know, you think you kind of get in a rhythm as a preacher, and when you get away for a couple of weeks, it's like you got to start all over again. And so bear with me. I got to say. I was in a cabin for a week there, and there wasn't anybody with me. And so I didn't have anybody to talk to. So it's like, man, anybody knows me? And then so I got home, and I just attacked Mona and pray for Mike. He's been listening to all my rivers here for the last week or so, too. But anyway, so you're the victim today, okay? But I will get you out sometime, okay? We're going to start a series, and I've been praying about this for a while, about what God would teach me through the Christmas season. Like I said, I love Christmas, and I read some books while I were off, and one of the books I was reading about is about Christianity and true Christianity, and about it's the basics of Christianity is love. And so you've heard us sing about it today, you've heard us talk about it and some things like that, and so the theme this Christmas is going to be God's love story, because that's what Christmas really is. And what we need to realize is that we as the church have to reemphasize the meaning of Christmas. It gets lost. And I shared some of this Wednesday night with some folks. It gets lost in all the hustles and the bustles that goes on in this time of the year. And I'm as caught up in that as you are. I mean, I have a lot of things going. Mona has a big family. And so we get caught up in all those things. But we need to keep coming back to Jesus and making sure people realize that this is his season. It's about him. And we try to make sure that people understand that. So we do that in what we sing. We do that in what we say. We do that in how we decorate our homes and all the things that go on. We need to bring people back to that because, listen, the church, that's our mission. That's our mission. And that's what we're going to be talking about today. So look there in John chapter 3, starting in verse 16. This should be familiar to most of you. I know if you're here very long, you are. It says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believeth in him shall not perish but have everlasting life." It says, "God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him." It says, "Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already because he has not believed in the name of God's one and only Son." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come to this special time of the year we call Christmas. God, we just, just revisit your birth. God, it's something that means so much to us, dear God, about you sending your Son to this world, God, to live amongst us, that, God, we might see you and see the attributes that you have, but also see your love for us, Lord. And so Christmas really is a love story, God. But not only is it a love story, but your whole Bible is a love story. It's about how man turned away from you, but you're bringing us back to you, Lord, and the mission that you sent Jesus on. And so, God, this is about a mission. And his mission is the most important thing in the world. And, God, his mission is to save souls. And, God, we thank you for that many of us in this room today, God, we're saved not because of what we have done, but because of what you have done and who you are, Lord. So we thank you for that today. So, God, let us dig into your word today. Let us look at the truths of what Christmas is all about as we go through this series, Lord. Help us realize that, God, we have a love story, and we're to be telling the world that love story because, God, we really do have good news. God, we really do. The gospel is good news. It's the best news ever, as we sing and say. But, God, it really is. And help us understand that more than any other time at this time of year. And we praise you for that. And we pray this in the name of Jesus, and amen. Well, what we have to understand is if when we look at that, we need to realize that this passage here is the heart of Christmas. It's a passage of love. And so God's on a mission. God has a mission, and you're a part of that mission. And so many times what happens in life is we don't realize that we're here because God wants us and He puts us here, that all of a sudden we begin to make up our own mission plan. We have our own lives. We do our own things. And so life begins to get distanced from the things of God. And so I think at Christmas, I think it comes back to trying to remind people of really the emphasis of what life is all about. And life is all about Jesus. Life is all about God and how important we are not only to Him, but how important He is to us. And so we need to realize that. And so I ask you in your bulletin there, what's the most important thing in life? And this is what I learned over these few weeks that I was gone. And as I read some books about this. The most important thing is love. The most important thing is love. And the most important thing in life is relationships. I preach that a lot at funerals. I had a funeral this week. Miss Helen Kay's, Randy Compton's mother passed away, and I preached her funeral. And this is where I always go at a funeral. What a funeral, what death makes us realize is how important life really is. And I hope it doesn't have to happen to you or I or somebody we care about to make us realize that, because death makes us realize how important our relationship, first of all, with God, because that's all that matters. Amen. I mean, what have you done with God? If you want to wonder what Christians do when they drive by the funeral home, the first thing that pops into my mind is, I wonder if they were a believer. I wonder if they've ever accepted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Because if they hadn't, because it makes the difference between eternity, where they spend eternity, either heaven or hell. So that makes all the difference in the world. But also, it should bring us back to the understanding of how important the people around us are. And a lot of times, as you walk up to a casket and you're always sitting there and you begin to regret the things that you didn't say, or maybe the things that you did say to that person. And it makes all of a sudden, it's kind of a funeral is where it all floods back together about how important relationships are. First of all, our relationship with God, because that means everything for eternity, but also our relationship with the people that God puts around us, of how important we are to each other. And what you find out is the people that you say you love the most is the ones you usually take advantage of the most. Amen? We usually neglect that person. That's the person that we kind of just, it's just an everyday occurrence. We just kind of live life with them and kind of go on, and we don't realize that all of a sudden, you know, we're just kind of doing life together, but, you know, but we're not connected like we should be. So relationships. And so God, Christmas is about relationships. And, you know, it tells us in the Bible that the greatest commandment is what is to love God, love other people. And it says everything else hinges on these two commandments, love God and love other people. So you can just kind of wrap it up in a package, and it says it's all about love. And so that's what Christmas is about. And that's kind of where we're going to go on this little journey here during Christmas, about Christmas is all about love. And so what is so important about a mission trip? Well, what is a mission trip? Well, a mission trip is this. A mission is an organized effort to help people and particularly in a way. It's trying to push someone somewhere. It's going and trying to minister to someone. It's trying to help somebody in a particular kind of way. And so what we have to understand is our mission is to point people towards Jesus' mission. And what was Jesus' mission? Well, it tells us there in John 3:16, it tells us what? That Jesus was to save the world. He came to save the world. And that's what his mission, that's the reason he came. And so our emphasis is, in our life is to push people towards him, because why? He's the answer to our problems. He's the solution to the things that we have to deal with in this world, and we have to understand that. And so we need to do what? We need to realize that the Father had what? He had sent his Son on a mission trip, in a mission of love, and that's what it is. And as I read through this book this last couple of weeks and realized how that the Christmas story and everything about Christianity is about love, then it makes us understand that our life should be about love. It should be about caring someone, caring about people that God puts around us. And it's not only the folks that he's cleaned up and sent our way, but it's also the folks that are down in the mud and down and have the difficulties and the problems. And because all of us have been there at times and times. And thank God that God's put people in our lives to help pull us out of those situations. Because, see, God uses people. You know, he's left us here to be his, I guess you'd say, his ambassadors. And we're to administer to that love to other people that God puts around us, because that's what they see. They see the church. And so now we have a big thing. I also read some stuff where now that it's a lot of folks that says, oh, I think a lot about God and Jesus, but I just don't like his church anymore. Well, the problem is the church doesn't look anything like Jesus does anymore. Amen? And I'm not saying that about everybody, but I'm saying that about a lot of folks, because we don't get it. And what we don't get is the churches will be about love and about loving and caring about other people. Just not setting everything right. And that's what happens sometimes. We get caught up in the political things and all that's going on in our world and all the wrong, and we're just trying to set everything right. Well, let's leave that up to God, amen? we have our part, but let's leave that up to God. And so we're on a mission. It's a mission of love, and this was what God's plan was from before the world began. You go back into Genesis, and you'll see that. We'll read some verses in just a minute. So why? Why did Jesus have to have a mission plan? Well, the first was man had a problem, and his problem is sin. And then also man had a need, and his need was forgiveness. But man couldn't do anything himself, and so it took someone like Jesus to die for our sins. Why? Because we're all sinners. And God the Father said it had to be a sinless blood sacrifice to die for our sins. And so it's why he calls him the Lamb of God. And we talked about that Wednesday night. And when he hung on that cross, Jesus hung on that cross, he was what? He was a sinless blood sacrifice that the Father required for the remissions of sin. And he is our sacrifice, our once and only, okay? And so that's what makes it so important. So when Jesus comes down and he comes in, he was born in Bethlehem, and we see that. And when he comes and John says, here comes the Lamb of God, that has significance. It means something, because he was what? He was our sacrifice for our sinfulness. And so God's plan is to save us through the person of Jesus Christ. That's how much he loves us. That is his son. And that's what John 3:16 is pointing us to. So the Bible is a love story, and we have to understand it. And God desires to have a relationship with us. The God of creation, the God of this universe, has a desire to have a relationship with us. He cares about us that much. And so God had a plan, and we call it a mission plan. And you need to realize it wasn't something God said, I think this is what I'll do. He said it wasn't an emergency situation to where, they sin, and so I've got to figure out something. It was thought out before the world was ever put in place. And also the coming of Jesus was something that was prophesied years. In this part, I'm going to read some Isaiah. 740 years that the birth of Christ was emphasized. It was predicted. I had a young girl. We did a go and tell. What was it? Monday night. And one of the girls that came and sat down with me, she was talking to me, and this is what she said. She said, "Well, I believed in Jesus and I accepted Jesus about 7 or 8 years ago, but," she says, "I don't believe in him and I don't believe in the Bible anymore." And man, when she said that, she was probably about 17 years old, and I sat there and I thought, my first question was, why? She says, "Well, I've done some research and so I just don't believe that anymore." And I sat there, and I thought, well, where am I supposed to go with that? In this situation, if you've ever been to a go and tell, we had people coming in and people going out, and we were going through, the plan of salvation with people and things like that. And praise God, had 14 people prayed to accept Christ. Amen. Praise God for that. Amen. Yeah. But just one girl shocked me, and I didn't know what to say, but it's like I didn't have the time to go into a lengthy conversation. So I was reading in my quiet time a couple of days after that. And this is one of the things, I wish I could go back and talk to her again. And this is what I'd say. I'd say, listen, you need to get into the Bible and look at all the prophecies in the Old Testament that was fulfilled in the New Testament. Amen? One of the evidences for the Bible is real is the prophecies that fulfilled. Listen, you don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. I don't either, okay? We don't know. But listen, we have things that were prophesied hundreds and thousands of years before they ever happened. And here's two of them right here. Let me show you a couple. Here's a couple of prophecies about Jesus. In Isaiah 9 and verse 6, it says, "For us a child is born, to us a son is given. The government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace." That's in Isaiah. And also in Isaiah 53:5, it says, "But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that was brought us peace was upon him, and by his wounds we are healed." And again, that was written 470 years before Christ was ever born. Going to Micah and see where Bethlehem was prophesied or where Christ would be born, and all the different things that lay out that and about the prophecy of just the person of Jesus Christ. And there's thousands of prophecies, and 3/4 of them have already been fulfilled. And so it gives us an understanding that what we hold in our hands, the Word of God, is truth. Amen. So it doesn't matter what I say, but it does matter what the Bible says, because that's the truth of God. And we have to emphasize that. We need to understand that. So love come down to us, and love come down to us in a person, and that person's name in Jesus. And so how do we see the meaning of Christmas? How do we see the mission of Christmas in John 3:16? Here, I'm going to give you a couple of things. The first thing is we see the reason there, okay? I'm breaking this down. The reason. It says, "For God so loved the world." Love is why the Father sent his Son. It's all about a love story. It's all about a love story. And so what we have to understand is what we do with love is this. We accept it from God, and also we give it out from God. So we accept it, then we share it with other people. And how do we do that? Well, it's very simple. We do it through visits. We do it through handshakes. We do it through hugs. We do it through phone calls. At Christmas time, we do it through gifts. We give people things. And we do that expressing what? Expressing our love for that person. Expressing that we care for that person. And that's what we do. We give things to people because we have an understanding of that love, what love means. So Jesus coming reminds us of God's desire to create a universe to show his love for us. And God's love was found what? In a manger first, but also in a cross after that. And we have to realize that. So when we look at the cross, it's a symbol of love. Yes, it was a symbol of punishment, but Christ was punished for our sake and not for his, and for our good and not for his. And what we have to understand is it's a symbol of love now. And also, it's also the cradle that we talk about so much. It was God doing his thing, putting a man here, putting a God in a bond here to do what? To live with us, to show us how much he cares for us. And so the difference between Christianity and everything else, every other religion is it's about love. It's what it is. It's a love story about how much God loves us. And it's not us trying to get to him, but how he's coming down to us and showing us how much he cares for us. And so as a church, we do what? As a church, we're what? We're to share the reason for the season, and we call that Jesus. He's the reason for the season that we have. And so the reason is it's all about love. And then the remedy, what we had, we had a problem. We had a sin problem. And so to bind us back to God, to bring us back to God, there had to be something that happened. And so we also see the remedy there in John 3:16 also. It says he gave his one and only son. And so love is a gift that we give out to people. It's something we can hold on to, or it's something we can give out. And we see in John 3:16, we see that what? That we had a problem. It was sin, but God had a remedy, and that was Jesus Christ, and it's a symbol of love. So Christ's coming shows us the nature of God. He is a giver. God is a giver. He gives us. He gives us life. Every breath we breathe, every eye blink we blink is something that God gives us. Another thing that I always say at funerals is that God doesn't take life, he just quits giving it. Because why? Because everything we have is given to us by God. And that includes the life that we have. And so we have to understand that God is a giver, and we see that in the person of Jesus Christ. And Christianity is based on giving. We see it in creation and all the beauty that we have and all the things that are so beautiful that we have. We see it also in his word. He's giving us his truth. He's giving us his word. It's a manual for us to live by and realize how much he cares about us. He's done that through a relationship with us, that God wants to have a relationship with us. The creator of the universe cares enough about us that he wants to have a relationship with us. And then also through a Savior, that he sent his son to die on a cross. And so we see it through his saving. So we have a God that is a giver, and our lives should mimic that. We should be givers. The church should be known as people that care about other people and love other people and want to minister to the people in their needs. And so we give at Christmas because why? Because we've been given to. We've been given to. It's a symbol of love. When you give something to someone, it's a symbol that you care about them. It's an expression that we have for love. And so giving, what is it? It's really a sacrifice of something I have, but I want you to have something. I want you to have something. It's something. Willing to give up something. Be willing to give you something because you care. I care about you, and I want to bless you, and I want you to realize, I want to show you that through what I give you. And so that's why we give gifts. I mean, I give my family gifts because I love them and because I care about them. We share gifts with our friends because we care about them and because we want to show them that they mean something to us. And so the sacrifice we make in life shows who or what's important to us. And so we don't just go around and just buy everybody gifts. We do what? We pick out special people in our lives, that special friend or that family people that we're really close to. And what we do is we give them gifts because why? We want them to know that, hey, you're special and you mean something to me. And I want you to know that I care about you, that I'm here to help you, and I'm willing to make a sacrifice for you. And so people are God's priority, and that's why he gives us so much. God has a priority, and we're his priority, and we see that in what he gave for us. And what did he give for us? He gave his son. He gave his son for us. And so that's something that's significant. It shows us how much God loves us. And so when we come to this time of year, we need to realize that God has offered us something that no other religion teaches, and he's offering us a gift of love and how much he cares for us. And regardless of what's going on in your life, you need to realize that God cares about you. We all have things in our lives that we know are not pleasing to other people, not pleasing to us, and not pleasing to God, but that doesn't diminish his love for us. And he cares about us, and we need to realize that. You know, the Bible tells us that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. So it's not get our act cleaned up and come to God. It's come to God and let him help us clean our act up. Amen? And we all need that. We all need help in lives. We all have things in life that we kind of hang on to and we can't let go to. It's those sinful things. It's those shameful things. Those things that keeps pulling us away from the things of God into this world. We all have those things. And they're different things for different people in this room. But I know you know what they are because the devil keeps reminding you, okay? And he keeps pulling you away with those things. But God still loves us and still cares about us. And it's just like our family. I mean, our family, they disappoint us at times. I have four boys, and Mona disappoints me, and I disappoint her, but I still love her, and I still give her things, and I still do things for her. Because why? Because I want to look past those things. See, love is looking past those things, and we see that in 1 Corinthians 13, what true love really looks like. And what I've done myself many times is I've read 1 Corinthians 13, especially at weddings, and I try to evaluate my love for other people based on that. And I can assure you that I don't measure up. I don't measure up in that category. But listen, I still want to make an effort. I still want to grow. I still want to get better. And how we learn that is through love. And what we see that is, we see that in the expression of Jesus Christ and how much he cares about us. And so what we have to understand is God's priority is people, and our priority should be people also. You know, when Mike come into the ministry, we started talking, and, you know, and you kind of get your little, you know, we have a routine just like everybody else does. And so we kind of get here about the same time every morning, and Mike's kind of got his own routine. I've kind of got my own routine. And for years, as I was went into full-time ministry, I mean, I have my Bible study, and I have an extensive Bible study. I tell people I'm so mean it takes a long time for God to get my attention. But I spend a lot of time in the Word, and I spend a lot of time reading different things. And what I saw was, as I got into ministry, well, I saw people were interruptions to me. But then as I grew and matured in the ministry, God had to kind of knock on my door, and he says, listen, people are the reason you're in ministry. And so Mike and I have a phrase every now and then when we kind of get out of kilter and things start happening, we just kind of have to push our Bibles and all our lessons to the side. And our phrase is what, Mike?
People.
People. That's what it is, you know. And people bring problems. People have difficulties. But see, that's what we're here for is people. Amen? That's what we're here for. We're here for you, and you're here for us to minister to each other and care about each other. So it's not just about getting and learning all about the Bible. It's about applying what we learn. And as you mature in Christ, what you're going to see is you're going to be more loving. You're going to be more caring. We call it fruit, joy and peace and love and joy. And all those things that we're longing for and looking for, it's come out. And it shows what? It shows the greatest expression of that is found in love and care about other people. Even people we don't really like and get along with, that's just what we call sandpaper people, and we go on anyway, okay? Because they teach us something in life also. And so we have a gift to give other people, and that gift is our love to them because God's loved us so much. Then also it lays out the rewards. It lays out the rewards of what true Christianity is. It says that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. Every one of us in this room is going to live forever. I remind you of that on a daily basis because we go at life like we've got one more week left. That's why we drive fast. That's why we live fast. That's why we yell out. Everything I do is fast, okay? And I don't like that about myself. And so I make myself try to slow down. I don't like that about myself. It's just I'm plagued with that, okay? I have a family like that. My dad was like that. My mother was like that. My brother's like that. And so I guess it's DNA, but I'm fighting against it because I don't like that about myself. Because God's given me plenty of time to do what he's called me to do. And he has you also. And so if you're in a hurry and you're worried all the time, what it is you're trying to fit something into your life that God never intended for it to be there anyway. And so I'm preaching that to you, but I'm also preaching it to myself because I have to remind myself of that. Because life has a way of taking over sometimes, and it's kind of putting the most important things behind in the rearview mirror and not even paying attention to them. And so what we have to understand is we need to realize that God's given us plenty of time to do what he wants us to do in this world. But he might not give you plenty of time to do what you want to do in this world. Because why? Because it's not part of his plan. But what you need to realize is you've got plenty of time. And why I say that is because you're going to live forever. Now, I know this body, this tent that the Bible calls, it's not going to live forever. We realize that. We go to funerals and we see that, okay? We see that the body. But I want you to know that your soul and spirit is going to live for eternity. And what you do with where it lives, either heaven or hell, is based on what you do with the person of Jesus Christ. And what it's telling us in this text here, that God's reward is he wants to live eternity with us in a place we call heaven. And we need to realize that. And God cares about us that much. And so what we have to understand is that here's the deal. God wants to give us a gift. And here's the deal is, you turn over your life and you turn over your sins to him. And what he does, he gives you eternity in heaven. Now, I'd say that's a good deal. I mean, I give my sins and I give my sorrows. I give everything to God. I turn over my life to Him, and what He gives me His love, His care, His compassion, and He gives me heaven in return. I'd say that's a good deal, and that's what God's offering, and that's why John 3:16 is such a favorite verse of so many people, because it lays out that. It lays out the problem, it lays out the remedy, but it also lays out the reward that one day we can spend eternity in heaven one day. And the greatest, the greatest thing is going to be there, we're going to be there for God. But the other thing is this, is there's not going to be any sin there anymore. Amen? We're not going to battle that sin that we battle all the time. I mean, I don't know you, but it gets me tired, it gets me down. Because it's something always pushing against us. This world's always pushing against us to walk away from the things of God and just kind of dive into what we want to do in life. And then when you're a Christian and you have a quiet time with God, then what? The devil's always showing up and trying to bring a guilt trip on you about that. See, and so that's the life that we live, and it's a battle that we're in. And listen, we're going to be in a fight. But what he realizes, what he tells us here is this, that man has a gift, and that gift is God given us. And that's a great deal for us. And so is there anything in your life worth more than your soul? I don't think there is. I don't think there is. Because why? Because it's going to live for eternity. This is what we spend so much time on this morning. Some of you folks got on, you put your Bondo on, ladies, and you combed your hair and all that kind of stuff, and you're trying to fill in all the cracks and everything. And I'm trying to grow a beard to cover up the ugly and stuff like that, But it's one of those deals that we spend a lot of time on things that are not going to last. It's wood, hay, and stubble. But listen, what's going to last is our soul and our spirit. And so there's nothing any more important than that. So we ought to spend time on that. And that's the time we spend on that is the time we spend with God. But the next question I ask you that is, what's the most important thing in your life is your soul. But let me ask you this. What's the most important thing in your friends and your family's lives? It's their soul also, And so you're going to spend a lot of time trying to pick out just the right gift. I'm just going to confess to you, I am a card guy, okay? Mona hates it, but I'm a card guy, okay? I don't like picking out stuff for other people. I don't like people picking out stuff for me, okay? So I'm a card guy. Mona don't like that. She says that's copping out, okay? So I'm a cop out, okay? So I don't spend a lot of time. I go to Lowe's and go in and get a card, and that's here you go. Love you. Get a card. I get a card. I'm getting a card. And every now and then I'll buy maybe some house shoes or something like that just to kind of let her know that I did think about her more than 10 minutes, okay? But Mona goes into this long, and she's not here today, so that's why I can talk about her. Mona goes in this long ordeal. She's in Gatlinburg right now. Okay, her and one of my boys went to meet another one of my boys, and so they're out. The last time I talked to her, she's at Tangler Mall. Okay, so that's like her dream boat. Okay, and so of course, what she's doing, she's trying to pick out stuff for us. And so she's texting me still, oh, do you like this? And it's like, just get me a card. Just get me a card. Let me pick out my own stuff, okay? And then she likes to pick out my hunting stuff, okay? And that's like, wait a minute, And so we won't go there anyway. But what I'm saying is that we have a long time in this life, and we've spent a lot of time trying to pick out just the right thing in life. The most important thing you can do with your family this year is share Christ with them. And how you do that, I don't know how you're going to do that. I mean, you're not going to walk into the Bible and start slapping people around, okay? They won't come back next year. But that's why a lot of people don't come to my house. I don't do that, but they think I would. But what you do is you do it through when you offer prayer. Before you eat, every time you ought to be praying. Don't be ashamed of that. I don't care if you're at a restaurant, you're with your family, or whatever it is, I mean, you offer a prayer, and you thank God for what you have because it's a gift from Him, amen? And somewhere in that prayer, you always include, God, thank you for my salvation. Thank you for saving my soul. And all that is just a reminder, just kind of a poke at them. Mona, we do a lot of stuff with Mona's family, and most of them are Christians, but we have a couple of heathens still left that's holding out, And so we just kind of poke at them a little bit at Christmas and saying, God, we thank you for the meal. We thank you for our family. We thank you for all those things. And my brother-in-law, he's a deacon at First Baptist, and you're either he or I pray. And he and I both, we've never talked about it, but we always, at the end of our prayer, and God, thank you for our salvation. Thank you for sending your son to die on the cross for my sin debt. And we thank you for that. And we always include that because we know that there's some standing in our family there that have never done that in their life. And we want to make sure that they realize how important that is to us, not only for our sakes, but also for their sakes. And so that's important. So what we have to understand is that we're going to live eternity. You're going to be somewhere a million years from now. You're going to be somewhere. And where you're at determines how do you determine that? It's what you do with Jesus Christ. Accept Him as your Lord and as your Savior. It tells us how to receive the gift is in Romans 10:9. It says, confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead. And you shall be what? Saved. Shall be saved. Saved from what? Saved from your sinfulness. Saved from your sin debt. And God's willing to take that and put it on the person of Jesus Christ. And so we need to realize the most important thing that we can give anyone at Christmas is the love of God. And that's the most important thing we can do. And we need to realize that. So Christianity is doing what? Christianity is showing other people love about how much God loves them. And it's also a giving and receiving. I'm giving loving, I'm receiving love. And it shows a picture of God. So we're left in the world to do what? To be ambassadors. And what is an ambassador? Ambassador is someone that represents someone or a country or something. So God says, calls us out to be ambassadors. And so he leaves us here to be ambassadors. And our being an ambassador, the best way we can ever do that is show people how much we care for them through loving them and being a part of their lives. And so we're ambassadors of not only his love story, but also his love story for us. See, I have a love story. God saved me. 33 years ago, I accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. And I've got a love story. And ever since that part, God has been working on me. And he's still got a lot to do, but I've come a long way, baby. Amen? And God is still working on me. But God, I have a love story and how much God cares for me and what he's brought me out of and how he's pulled me out of the depths of the sinfulness I was caught up in. And many times as I deal, and many of you know my testimony and how I was caught up in all different kind of things. But I was sitting, I was asked to go talk to someone this last couple of weeks. And it was a person that was hung up on alcohol and drugs and things like that. And I got to remembering back in my days, and I thought, you know, what could have changed my life? What could somebody have said? What could somebody have done in my life to change my life? And let me tell you what, nobody could have done anything because I was having a big old time. And so, but God knew what he had to do to get my life, get my attention. And he did that and brought my attention. And then he brought someone in my life to speak truth. And you know what I was willing to do? I was willing to listen to truth then. God had my attention. And so maybe this season, you know, somebody in your family, you know, they're having some problems, they're having some difficulties. And a lot of times what happens in life is that's when God wants to speak truth to that person. He has to shake you every now and then to kind of get you to your attention for you'll listen to what truth is. And maybe you've got some people in your family this year that God's going to put you in contact with or going through some problems and some pain. Listen, we usually listen better in pain. Because that's the valleys of life, and we learn more in the valleys. And so maybe God, and so don't ever say, well, I'm not going to say anything. They've got enough trouble as they are. Let me tell you why. How they solve their problem is to give them to Jesus. Amen. It's not only their soul problem, but there's a lot of other problems. They give them to Jesus. And so that's the message that we need to have for Christmas. And so don't ever back away from that. And, I mean, like I said, you don't have to be ugly or belligerent to people, but you can show care and compassion and about that. And they're willing to listen to people like that. And so let's look at the closing now. Do you feel loved by God? Well, do you feel loved by God? Don't base your salvation on your feelings. Don't base how much God cares for you on your feelings because they can change, okay? But let me tell you what, God loves you. And I know this, why? There's a couple of things. Well, first of all, because the Bible tells me that. But the other thing I know is because of a cradle. We look at a cradle and we look at a cradle. And what is that? It means that God sent his son down to this earth to do what? To show us what true love really looks like in the person of Jesus Christ. But the last thing is the cross, and we talked about it earlier. When we look at the cradle and we look at the cross, we need to realize that those are symbols of love and God's love for us. And we need to express that to other people. But do you really feel loved here today? Do you really feel loved? Well, Brother Nathan, it doesn't matter. You can be a Christian and really still not feel loved. You can be lonely. Okay, you can feel rejected. You can feel all those things. But what I want you to do today is realize that God really loves you. He cares for you. And those of us that are Christians, we need to express that to the people that God puts around us. And whatever ways that might be, this is a handshake or a hug or a phone call or a visit or maybe a way to let people know that we care about them. Then the lesson to learn today is Christmas is a love story. And we're going to see that over the next few weeks as we dig into this, that Christmas really is a love story. God's love for us and how much we should show that love towards other people. And then the application today is I'm to show God's love with my life. I'm to show God's love with my life and what I say and what I don't say and what I do and sometimes what I don't do. I do that because I love and I care about other people. And so how do I do that? I do that by giving. See, God is a giver. If you want to be like God, then you always have to be giving. You know, and so if you're all about taking, it's all about what you're going to get for Christmas and all about you, okay, then you need to realize that's not what God looks like. God is a giver, and he wants to give us. And what does he want from us? He tells us he wants our time. that if you ever get around people that are needy, you're going to have to give up some of your time. And that's sometimes what we're most selfish with is our time. That, you know, that we're, you know, time is valuable. We know that. So when I'm giving my time to you or somebody else, it means that I care about you and I'm expressing my love for that. Whether it's just sitting and listening to someone and their situation they're going through. Also, it's our talents. You know, God's gifted you in certain ways. There's certain things you can do, okay? There's certain attributes of your life that you can share with other people, whether it's hands-on or whether it's just listening or whatever. But, you know, you've got different things that you can do, and you can help people in different ways. And then sometimes it's with what we call our treasures, and that's with our finances. There's always somebody asking. There's a lot of needs out there, and there's a lot of good things to give to. You know, if you're as a pastor and you ever get your name and you start getting Pastor Nath Osmond, then you get a flood of things in the mail every day wanting you to give to this and give to that and give to this, you know. And usually I only get one of them. I get two because they give them to the church and they give them to me too. So I'm getting hit twice. And so what I do is I pray about those things, and there's certain things that I give to because I believe in their ministries. There's certain people I give it to because I understand their situation and they're going through some problems in their life right now that they didn't have anything in making. My mother was disabled when I was in the fourth grade, and so I know what it's like to live on a disability check, you know, and her trying to raise me and my brother and not having hardly much money or anything like that. So there's people out there that really does have needs that are legitimate needs. They're not just lazy and don't want to work. They have legitimate. My mother had a back injury and she couldn't work. They wouldn't release her, and so I understand that. And so there's are people out there that really have needs, and so we as the church, we are the representatives of God, and we need to be giving people. We need to be giving people. We need to be giving our time. We need to be giving our talents. We need to be giving out our treasures. In regards to how much, but just making sure that people know that we care and we're willing to help them in whatever area they need help in. And so that's how we do it. We do that by giving to people. And so our life should be a life of giving. Why? Because God's given us so much. He who has much, much is expected. Well, I don't know about you, but let me tell you what. When I woke up this morning and I thought about the message I was going to preach, I laid there in bed and, you know, we forget these things sometimes. And I thought, God, thank you, first of all, for the nice warm bed that I'm laying in. And then all of a sudden I have a central heating air unit. And I heard the heat kick on. I said, God, thank you for the central heating air. And then I went to the water and thank God, thank you for the nice shower. And thank you for all the things that we take for granted and we just take advantage of it. So much of the world don't even know what we have. Then a lot of those things we need to realize, those are blessings that God gives us, and you don't really realize that until you don't have a warm bed to sleep in, or you don't have a shower to get in, or you don't have food in the refrigerator or something like that. See, so all the things that we think are not blessings of God, God has to bring us back sometimes and say, and realize that God has been good to us, and I need to be good to other people because God's been so good to me. Amen. And if you don't realize that, then you need to be looking around this Christmas and realizing that there's somebody God's going to put in your way that's going to need you. They might need just your time. They might need just your talents in some way to help them. But they also might need your financial help, that they don't have things to help you, to help other people with. But whatever God calls us to do, we need to be willing to be able to do what? Open our hands and open our hearts and say, here I am. I'm willing to help you in some tangible way. And what that does, it points people back to Jesus, because we always do what? We tell them we're doing what we do because he's done so much for us. Because why? He is the one that we need to be pointing people to. They don't need to praise us. They need to praise him. Amen? And that's where the true blessing is. And so today, let me ask you, has there ever been a time in your life where you accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? God sent you a present in the person of Jesus Christ. But you need to realize that it might be a present, but your part is to receive that present. And how you receive him is what? You admit that you're a sinner. The Bible tells us in Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That means that we're all sinners. We all have the same problem, that we don't measure up to God's standard to get into heaven because we're sinners. That's our problem. But also, so we have to admit that. That's usually not a problem, you know. But also we need to believe. Believe. Believe what? Believe that Jesus is the Son of God and died on the cross for our sins. And again, go back to that verse I read to you, just or said to you a while ago in Romans 5:8, that God demonstrated his love for us that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Here's the devil's lie. Get your life straightened up and come to God. Well, the problem is you don't ever get it straightened up. There's always something standing in the way. So it's come to God and let him help you straighten your life out. And listen, and the church is a part of that. Being part of the church is part of that. We're here to help you. We're here to be a part of the process that God uses to get you where you need to be. And the last thing, listen, you need to realize this. You can admit that you're a sinner. You can believe that Jesus is the Son of God and died on the cross for your sin. You can believe all that and still die and go to hell. See, the devil believes that. But the last thing is, there has to be a time in your life where you confess Him as your Lord and as your Savior. And the Bible tells us that in Romans 10, just what I read a while ago, it tells us two things we've got to do to be saved, to determine where we're going to spend eternity, either heaven or hell. And what is that? It says this. It says, confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord. That's number one. And what does the word Lord mean? It means He's the boss. I'm surrendering my life to You. I'm turning my life over to You today. And so it's confess Jesus as your Lord. And the next thing is believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead. And it says you will be what? What did we say a while ago? You will be saved. And what does that mean, believing in your heart? Well, have you ever told anybody, I love you with all my heart? You know what that means? That means I love You with everything in me. And that's what you're telling God. God, I accept You with everything in me. I believe in You and everything in me. I believe You. I can remember that day that I accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. God brought this back to my memory about a year ago, and I kind of forgot it. I remember standing there and the guy going through the plan of salvation, basically the same thing I just went with you. And it's just what I thought. I thought, I really believe that. See, I didn't know anything about the Holy Spirit. I didn't know that God was working on me. I didn't understand about the drawing of the Holy Spirit or anything like that. I really believe that Jesus is the Son of God, and He died on the cross for my sins. And I really want to give Him my life today. And I remember with everything in me, I thought, man, God, I really want to do that today. And after I got saved and walked away, and after I began to get in the Word, I realized that was God's love pulling me to Him. And He was doing that with the person of the Holy Spirit. He was doing that through me. So listen, even our salvation is a gift of God. And if you're being drawn by God today, that's God drawing you. That's God drawing you into a love relationship. Why? Because He loves you. He loves you and He cares about you. Listen, that's what Christmas is all about. So if you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior today, we give an invitation. And that invitation is for you to do that. You don't have to walk up the aisle to do that or anything like that. You just pray a prayer just like something like this. Say, God, I know I'm a sinner. And I believe Jesus is the Son of God and died on the cross for my sins. And I want to confess You today as my Lord and as my Savior. God, I want You to save me today. And if you've never done that, that's something you need to do. And then you really get to experience what Christmas is really all about, because it's all about Him. Amen? It's all about Him. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You, dear God. We thank You for Christmas and the story. We thank You for all the things that we celebrate. But God, more than anything else, we celebrate You today. We celebrate Your love. We celebrate Your grace. We celebrate Your mercy, God. God, You have been so good to us. So God, let us use Christmas and all our lives, God, to be good to other people. And God, that's the greatest expression of Christianity that can be, is love. Everything else can fail, but love never fails. And God, we give You our love today. And we do that through our worship. But God, let it extend past this building as we give it to other people. God, we love You today, and we thank You for that. Maybe there's some here today, dear God, that God has prayed that prayer, and they've accepted You as their Lord and as their Savior. God, let them not be ashamed to tell someone about that, myself or someone else. God, let them know that now they're getting in. It's not an end of something. It's a beginning of something, and now they need to start this new life, and they need help. And God, You've put us and churches and other things, other people here to help them grow and mature and be the person You want them to be. Because God, You have a plan for their life. And it'll far outreach the expectations they have for themselves, God. And God, You can do so much with our life that we'll just lay it before You. So God, we surrender today and ask You to do that. So maybe there's some that made that decision today. Maybe there's some here that's hurting today, and maybe they need to be prayed with or prayed for. Maybe they're having difficulty in not only in their life, but other people that they know are having difficulty, and they want to pray for someone, God. But God, let them know that this invitation, dear God, is from them to You. It's from them to You, God. And so, God, You invite us to come and get right with You today. God, we love You and we praise You. And we pray this in the name of Jesus and amen. So maybe you have a need in your life today. Maybe you accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior today. Man, come and share that with us. That's good news, amen. That's something to be, man, that's something to be grateful for, proud of. And we want to share that with you. Maybe today you have a situation going on in your life. You know, maybe Christmas always brings that up, okay? You know, you got some of them folks that we call sandpaper people that's going to come to your house. You know, that's going to happen. But pray about that person. And maybe today you just want to come to the altar and just get down to the altar and pray about something that's going on in your life. But maybe not only in your life, but somebody else's life. But there's always people around us that are hurting. And so we need to make intercession for them, you know. So maybe today you need to come down and just get right with the things of God. So whatever your need is, you come today. Let's all stand.
thirst for a drink from the well. Jesus is calling. Oh, come to the altar. The Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness was bought with the precious blood of Jesus.
Somebody about something today. Oh man, praise God. Thank you for being here this morning and being a part of the Christmas season here with us. We hope you'll come back and be a part of that. Most of us are not having life groups right now. We're kind of taking a break, but it's okay. We'll get started back in the next year. Mike's got some exciting things coming up for us the first of the year. Is that right, Mike?
That's right.
Yeah, okay. Some exciting things coming up first year. We want you to get plugged back into a life group after that. So we want you to enjoy your Christmas. Some of you guys are still meeting in life groups, and that's great. Thank you for doing that, but that's great. And so thank you for being here today. Well, it's good to be back and good to be a part of that. I'm praying for you. You pray for me. We've got a lot going on this next couple of months or the next month as we go through the Christmas season. We hope you'll be here as we go through this series. But the whole series is going to be about the love of Christ. And so it's not something that we just need to know about. It's something we need to be telling other people about. Amen? And so I hope you'll do that this year and be a part of that, okay? Let's have a word of prayer.